Welcome to the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I'm Zach Zimmerman.
And I'm John Moore.
And today we'll be running through the episode that aired on April the 29th, 2015. The first show taped back on April the 23rd at Full Sail University. Before we get into the show this week, though, we are All Access, so we'll just run through a quick plug here for ProWrestling.net membership. If you like what we do here on the All Access side, just know that there's a whole lot more of it over on the member side of things. Weekly recaps of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and Impact. You also get Will Pruitt and Jay Farnett's Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. That's what it's called. I don't actually think they're pretentious, just for the record. And, of course, the flagship broadcast, Jason Powell's .net Weekly Audio Show. New guest every week. Sometimes it's one of us. Sometimes it's one of the names, whether it be Jim Ross or whoever else he can go out and get. You're usually going to get a bunch of first-run news there. And then, of course, just a recap and analysis of all the news and events of the week. So that's obviously a great aspect of it. You like audio, you're listening to this, but you also get access to the ad-free version of the website, which once you get rid of those flashers and the pop-ups and the banners, you're never going to want to go back. So it's also a huge perk. And then, of course, you get access to the .NET members forum, just a good group of people having a good conversation in there. So, yeah, ProWrestling.net, you'll see the membership link at the top of the page. Go there. It's got all the information you need. The sign-up link's right there. You can figure it out. With that out of the way, John, this is actually your first time on the NXT audio show, so welcome. Phil and Darren Gutteridge's role, I've been on my own for a while, but you got some big shoes to fill. You ready?
Okay, I hope I can. I mean, I've sort of been on any audio, and, like, that's a thing. But, I know.
What a bummer. Let's not even go into there. But those are actually forbidden letters on this show.
Okay, no problem.
All right.
So I'm glad I don't have to cover it. Sorry, Hayden.
What did you think about this show? I mean, I think I might have set the bar a little bit high last week in my audio and my coverage. I thought that they would really kind of come out of the gate and do like a big almost summer kickoff kind of thing here. If this was that, pretty disappointing. Would you agree? I don't know. What did you think?
Exactly. This was more of a mass show. I did think they did some good setups, like the whole women's division got set up really well, as well as a pretty basic, but what else can you do to set up Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn at the next special? But, yeah, I thought this was more of a, like, just spinning their wheels. Like I said, it is disappointing in the sense that we thought they would be coming off hot after WrestleMania season.
Yeah, the Zayn and Owens thing, it was good, and I liked it that they kind of kept that going throughout the show. That was really the running theme throughout the show. But other than that, I mean, they did do a couple other things to set up some things in the women's division as well as the tag team division. So they're doing an okay job of building things. For whatever reason, the show just kind of felt cluttered to me. I just felt like some of the things, maybe you could have trimmed the fat a little bit around this show and put a little bit more time and attention on the things that really mattered. But I guess we'll get into that as we get through the show. So we got to kick off the show, a video package recapping Kevin Owens and Alex Riley last week in the main event. Obviously, Owens killing Alex Riley, and then the subsequent brawl with Sami Zayn, which was awesome. We got the opening video, came inside the arena. We got Kevin Owens coming out. Actually got some big boos, which, you know, people say what they will about the Full Sail crowd and how they're kind of there to get themselves over, according to some people. I think in a lot of ways, like particularly with Owens, I really appreciate how they're, they could be cheering him as the indie darling or whatever, but they're not. They're there to get him over as the heel. A couple of guys in the crowd chanting "Fight Owens, fight," but they were overtaken by the other guys in the crowd booing and singing away. So, props to the Full Sail crowd for that. Owens out to cut a promo. He said that last week he got rid of Alex Riley. He was about to get rid of Alex Riley with the Apron Powerbomb. Sami Zayn had to come out and play the hero. Well, now Owens is there, and Sami Zayn can't sneak attack him. He's got his fist taped up. So let's fight. Sami Zayn did not come out. William Regal came out, strolled down to the ring. Fans chanted his name. He said that Owens is not going to use NXT just to further his own agenda. He can't go around doing whatever he wants. He said that with all due respect, Owens said that with all due respect, he didn't call William Regal out there. He called Sami Zayn out there. "You're not Sami Zayn," he said. And then he kind of smirked and said, "I said with all due respect." Sami Zayn came out, pretty good pop from the crowd there. Came down to the ring. Before he got in the ring, though, Regal kind of, I like this, Regal played peacemaker. He said that it's not going to break down into a circus like last week. He was there to maintain the peace. And they did just that. So Regal said that he's got an easy choice to make. Owens wants to fight Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn wants to fight Kevin Owens. And so at the May 20th NXT Live special, the next takeover, will be Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens for the NXT Championship. Owens was into the match, but he did not want to put the title on the line. And he actually made a decent point. He said that Sami Zayn lost the title and went running home. He hasn't done anything since then, so why does he deserve a title shot? Sami Zayn fired back, got in Owens' head. He said that seems like Kevin Owens needs this match. He said that everything Kevin Owens has done for the past 12 years has Sami Zayn's name next to it. He said that it's still that way. People aren't talking about Kevin Owens. They're talking about what Kevin Owens is doing to Sami Zayn. He said Owens lives in his shadow, and that must drive him crazy. Indeed it did. Owens is kind of starting to go a little bit berserk. Sami Zayn said that he wants to fight, but he's there to fight for a prize. And Owens finally blew his stack. He said, you got it. You want it? You got it. So there it was. The match is on. He said that Sami Zayn might have thought last time was bad, but he had no idea what he's in for this time. Regal recaps. Indeed, on May 20th, we will get Kevin Owens defending the NXT Championship versus Sami Zayn. And that was that. So for the first time in a long time, we got Raw opening with some kind of mental thing right there, but NXT opening with an extended promo segment. If it's a recurring thing, I won't be happy about it, but I think this is good. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were effective here. Regal was good in his role. So thumbs up all around here. What'd you think?
And a Raw opening will be Triple H and Stephanie for 20 minutes. That's a different thing. But no, back to this segment. I thought it was pretty good, but I do see what you were saying about the whole, like, if they focused on these segments a little more and, like, maybe trimmed the fat and spread amongst several weeks, it would have been better. It got a little bit rushed in the end where you had Sami Zayn goading Kevin Owens into a title match, where he did it masterfully and did it perfectly. It just seemed like a little rushed, and it could have been a little more entertaining if they spread that out over several weeks, or maybe over several segments, where he will be trying to take, like, pages out of Kevin Owens' book to try to get him to put the title on the line. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they're playing to the calendar here. You know, it seems like they had their date set. May 20th is the next live special, so they have to book to that date. In an ideal situation, they could have had Kevin Owens reject the title match and made Sami Zayn go on, you know, a little bit of a run before he gets that shot and finally gets in Owens' head. They could have done something like that, but this was fine for what it was. A little rushed, but definitely okay. We got the commentators, Rich Brennan, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton. They were the ring announcers, the commentators for the show. They just kind of recapped what we had seen. Then they hyped Tommy versus Adam Rose for later in the show, as well as Bayley versus Dana Brooke. We went backstage for probably the busiest segment in the history of NXT. So we go backstage where Greg Hamilton is there, and he's there to discuss the upcoming NXT tour of the Northeast, coming through, I think, New York and Philadelphia and Ohio, maybe a couple other places. So he's there to talk about that. And then all of a sudden, Enzo and Cass and Carmella walk in. They're bickering at each other, just yapping at each other back and forth. And then Greg Hamilton disappears. So now the segment's about Enzo and Cass and Carmella. Bickering. For some reason, Enzo and Cass decide to leave. Carmella says she's a big girl or whatever, and she's going to stay there and hang out on the couch. She sits and hangs out on the couch. Blake and Murphy show up out of nowhere, like, randomly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, perfect timing, come and they jump and sit down on the couch with Carmella, and seems like things might be about to get weird, but Carmella seems oddly comfortable with it. But then they insulted Enzo and Cass, and Carmella said, nobody talks about my boys that way, so get out of here. She kicked them out. They left, but they were still kind of lingering in the background, which is weird. Alexa Bliss suddenly walked up, so now this is about Alexa Bliss. For whatever reason, she tells Carmella that Carmella is not classy, she should be more classy. Carmella pie faces her, and then walks away. And then Blake and Murphy come back over and try to check on Bliss. So now it's about Bliss and Blake and Murphy. This was this was too much to keep track of. I don't even know what to say about this. It was just three or four or five segments in one.
It seemed like some strange, like, stage play where, you know, like, where they're trying to get several segments over in one stage. But I mean, just with the whole, and then just the placement of everyone just seemed odd, and I don't even know what Alexa Bliss was trying to talk about there. But, it was just all over the place. That was a very confusing segment, in my opinion.
I guess they killed a whole bunch of birds with one stone, if you want to put it that way. You know, we get the build for for, you know, we're still building heat with Blake and Murphy hitting on Carmella. It looks like we're going to get Carmella versus Alexa Bliss one of these weeks. I guess it's also built to Blake and Murphy versus Enzo and Cass later in this show, which is really weird that they would, I don't know, this was just kind of bonkers, but let's keep it rolling here. We went backstage where Sami Zayn was in William Regal's office. Again, moving things right along here, just fast forward here because they're already signing the contract for the May 20th live special. So Sami Zayn signing the contract in there. Alex Riley walks in. Riley really wants another chance at Kevin Owens because the first time he lost in 5 minutes and the second time he lost in 5 minutes, so third time's the charm or something, right? So he wants Kevin Owens again. That Regal's not going to have it. He said, Riley's had a chance. He said, I sympathize with you, but I have no more opportunities for you, which I love that line because I think WWE, it should be out of opportunities for Alex Riley, but let's stay out of that. So Sami Zayn spoke up, and he said that he's not sure if Alex Riley is able to hang with Kevin Owens. He said he knows Kevin Owens. He's not sure if Riley can hang. Riley took exception to that. He begged for another match with Kevin Owens. He said, I need it. Give me this match. Regal said, it's not happening. Sami Zayn spoke up. He said, hey, if you can't find a match, I'll wrestle you. And Alex Riley agreed, but he said that if I win, I get your match against Owens. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. Back in the arena, we got Enzo, Cass, Carmella make their entrance, doing their usual stick. Crowd's into them, as always. Enzo cut a promo on the Street Boys, Blake and Murphy. Cass did the soft line, got a big pop for that. Blake and Murphy were out next. Their entrance is just horrible. The music, the dubstep music and the crazy video walls, and then the camera zooming in and out and swinging back and forth. It's too much to handle, but about 20 minutes into the show, we finally get the first match, and we get Enzo and Cass with Carmella versus Blake and Murphy in a non-title match. This is kind of your typical Enzo and Cass match. Enzo takes a beating. Colin Cassidy comes back, kicks a bunch of ass, hit the rocket launcher. They win, except this one was against the tag team champions. So, yeah, goes to kind of show how weak this tag division is. But I don't know. I'm kind of out of abilities to care about this tag division right now. So maybe you have some kind of comment.
No, the way that they built this match, this is just your typical WWE main roster type of way to build to tag team title matches. You know, have the challengers beat the champions in a non-title match, leading to the special where most likely, probably, the tag champions will win. Of course, they could write things completely differently, you know, between now and this week, but now all I'm expecting is a bunch of Blake and Murphy hitting on Carmella for no appropriate reason the next couple of weeks. But otherwise, yes, this is your typical Enzo and Cass match where he takes a beating, Cass comes in and cleans house. At the same... okay, go ahead.
No, finish your thought. I've got my question. Go ahead.
No, I lost my thought, so I need to recollect it.
All right, sorry. Well, let me redirect you then. Do you think there's any chance Carmella turns on Enzo and Cass and it goes to Blake and Murphy?
I thought of that at one point, but I just think it'll be strange because Carmella's act is sort of like it's based off the whole New York or Italian thing. So it'd be strange to see them with Blake and Murphy, where it should just be sort of like a random ballet, almost like what's her name, Rosa Mendez, in that sense, and she'll end up being lost in some sort of, you know, I see her possibly turning. I just don't see her act working well with Blake and Murphy.
Yeah, I can just see them maybe trying to repackage her with that act, because as much as I get a kick out of Enzo and Cassidy's shtick once in a while, and it's kind of actually annoying as it is a lot of the time, I don't know that they're really cut out for the main roster, especially their in-ring work. And so my thought is that Blake and Murphy, you know, you put them together the way they look, and you put Carmella out there in some kind of, you know, just some kind of look that goes along with them. I think that's kind of a package that you could bring up to the main roster, but remains to be seen. And as far as this program goes, it's just kind of whatever. And when they have matches like this, you know, 3 minutes, 15 seconds, you know, wins, just a clean, basic win over tag champs, it's hard to get excited about. So let's not spend any more time on that.
No problem.
We went backstage to, actually not backstage, but to actually an interview clip with Becky Lynch. This was good. She said that, I guess the way I covered it in my live coverage, it actually made it seem like it was really generic. I guess if you look at it like that, it kind of was. But her delivery was really good. She said that you know, if she, this is her big chance, and she, if she wins the NXT Women's Championship, that's winning everything to her. So it'll prove that why she's the best. It'll prove that she's the best. It'll prove why she's there. So it'll validate everything that she's done. Since she didn't come to NXT just to be another name on the NXT roster, she came to be the best, and that's what having the NXT Women's Championship means. She said that's going to be NXT, and that was that. So good spotlight on Becky Lynch. I thought this was good. Any thoughts?
I thought it was good as well. It's more so, what more can you ask for from her? That was very good, straightforward, told you her sort of mission statement. And it was the straight up pretty good. No additional thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was not, you know, it wasn't super generic, but I mean, it was kind of super generic, but it wasn't at the same time. I don't know. I just like her delivery. I hope they give her more of a character than just, I want to be the best. So, you know, we'll see where this goes, but just as far as the promo delivery, she's getting better and better. Elsewhere backstage, we had Devon Taylor trying to interview Bayley about her match tonight with Dana Brooke, but Bayley was all for Clemps. She's all of her stuff is gone. She can't talk. I got to go find my stuff. She said, it was like her headbands were missing and her shirt and a couple other things. So after she left, Emma kind of snuck on set and she had all of Bayley's stuff. And she said, well, I should probably go give this stuff to her. We went to a commercial break and we came back. We had a Baron Corbin vignette. I just noted that it was a vignette. Did anything about this stand out to you?
No, there was a wolf on his back. That's all I remember.
Yeah, and I mean, that seems to be kind of where Baron Corbin is stuck in purgatory of 5 to 25 second squash matches and vignettes. And that's really that. These vignettes don't stand out as like, although I guess I can't say that because Rhino sure had something to say about this vignette later. So we went back into the arena. Bayley made her entrance, got a good response from the fans. She's super over in that place. And I know Emma was over with that crowd doing the dance and stuff, but I think if they do it the right way, I think Bayley could get over on the main roster the way she's over with these NXT fans. I think she could be a huge, huge thing for like the you know, younger girl demographic. I think if you look in the NXT crowd, there's girls there with the Bayley wristbands and shirts and headbands on. Bayley has the potential to be something pretty big if they don't make it too cartoony and they make her something something special. Just the more I see her come out in this environment and the way she carries herself and her character, I think she can do well. Maybe work a little bit on her promos, but I'm carrying on. So for the night, Bayley versus Dana Brooke. This was a pretty decent match. I thought Bayley works well from underneath, and Dana Brooke wasn't quite as clunky as she had been in previous weeks. She did a couple of decent moves in this match. What did she do? She did Wasteland, which I thought was kind of interesting. She did a pretty cool submission hold, which is like a kind of an extended kneeling half crab. Bayley came back, looked like she was about to roll into her finish. She had, you know, done her usual comeback thing, was about to hit the back elbow off the top rope. But then Emma's music hit, and she came out wearing, I'm sorry, not Emma's music hit, Bayley's music hit. And Emma came out wearing all of Bayley's things. She came down, walked down the ramp, and God, I screwed this up in my live coverage because Emma did not hit the diving back elbow. Bayley hit the diving back elbow. Emma came down to ringside, and for whatever reason, this made Bayley look like a dumb baby face, but she reached out of the ring and tried to swipe it at Emma, trying to grab one of her headbands. Distracted, Dana caught Bayley, hit the Samoan driver. Dana broke over Bayley in about 4 minutes, 15 seconds. After the match, Brooke made her way to the back, but she high-fived Emma on the way. Emma kind of mocked Bayley from the ramp. Bayley looked pissed off in the ring, and that was that. I like this build to Emma versus Bayley. Looking forward to the match. Hopefully we get that one at TakeOver. I wouldn't mind 2 ladies matches on that show at all. Dana Brooke still doesn't grab me, but I thought, you know, between Bayley's work from underneath and some of Dana's power moves, I thought this is pretty all right.
I thought Dana Brooke improved much, like somewhat this week. For one, her entrance, even though it's still very loaded and she doesn't know her character, where she's like acting stripperific with the whole muscle thing, but she seems to like knock 30% off like since we first saw her. So that's a slight improvement. And also she's coming out with these power moves and a very unique Samoan driver finisher, which looks pretty good. Yes, and going back to Bayley and Emma, they're doing a good job overall. You know, it's just sort of their formula, and they know how to build a women's program. If only the main roster could because what it allows them to do is stretch this over several weeks and not have any feel become any at all stale.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I like that there's focus on this. Actually, you know, thinking back, this actually might be the first time, but I think we're starting to get, for the first time, multiple layers of stories in the women's division. We're getting, not only are we getting, you know, the story around the NXT Women's Championship, which usually just seems to be the only time the women get, you know, it's either, you know, it's something building to a title match. They're building to Bayley versus Emma. They're building up Dana Brooke. They're building up Carmella and Alexa Bliss. And they're building up Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks for the NXT Women's Championship. So, starting to see some depth in this women's division. Things are looking up. I think 2015 might be a surprisingly strong year for this division.
And as we see in their incoming class, they have a lot of incoming women as well who are going to just bolster up this division, or so we hope.
Yeah, I actually we'll touch on that just a little bit later on in the show with one of the other ladies' matches we get with a name who is potentially getting a tryout there. But anyway, we got William Regal in his office. He announced that contracts had been signed and that TakeOver on May 20th, it would be Tyler Breeze versus Hideo Itami versus Finn Balor, winner becoming the number one contender to the NXT Championship. So that should be pretty darn sweet. We went into the arena where Hideo Itami made his entrance and Adam Rose was out next, third match of the show. This one was just kind of okay, pretty much in line with all the other Itami squashes we've been getting. I did get a kick out of something in the opening sequence here where Rose kind of, you know, he has this spot in the beginning of a match where somebody takes his arm in an arm lock and he does like a bunch of rolls around the ring to get out of it. Itami had none of it, just killed him with a kick, kneed him in the gut, and kicked him in the chest really hard. I thought that was pretty damn funny. Then a short time later, Rose came back. Rose got the heat on it for a while. Itami finally came back. Hit his crazy sequence of strikes. He hit 1.5 million punches and kicks and back fists and all that kind of stuff. Hesitation, drop kick, stick kick, Tommy over Rose, just shy of 3 minutes. Not too much to say about this. I want to see more from Tommy. Hopefully he'll have a standout performance at the live special, but this is just kind of in line with everything else he's been doing, which is better than 2014 for sure. But I don't know if these matches are just kind of there.
Exactly. Tommy seems like he's missing something at the end of his matches to really fire up the crowd. Maybe a new finisher. I mean, of course, he's saving up until he finally hits the GTS on live television. But, of course, before that, these specials have come out of nowhere, and they're like, oh, the match is over. And the matches sort of end. And that's why he never kicks it into that second gear to make you, like, get excited for his matches yet. He has the capability, and you've seen his Kenta matches in the past. He has done it before. It's just, again, he's still acclimating. It's taking a while, but I guess he's still acclimating.
Well, and he's shown vast improvements. I mean, he's already at a level where he can hang and be a viable main eventer in the NXT picture because, I mean, he's got his moveset figured out. He's got his selling figured out. I mean, he's got his – I mean, if you go back to, you know, weeks 1 and 2 and 3 where, you know, he wasn't used to the feel of the ropes and the way it was, you know, running and springboarding off them, he's changed up his game. He's not doing the springboard clothesline anymore. He's doing the diving clothesline. He's got, you know, a couple of signature spots that he does. He's coming into his own, developing that WWE style package that he needs to develop. So the ship, there's definitely things are looking up for Hideo Itami. I just want to see more than these basic first gear squashes from him.
Exactly.
We went Sami Zayn versus Alex Riley was hyped in the main event. We went backstage where Bayley was walking around. She wanted to find Emma. She walked into the roving reporter, which I actually really like kind of the reality aspect of it where it's not just the camera capturing what's happening backstage. The camera crew is backstage. Bailey's walking around looking for Emma. Camera crew picks it up. Bailey ends up asking the camera guys, "Have you seen Emma?" They said, "No, Bailey, we haven't seen her." But they asked her for they asked her something, but she said that that she had thought that she and Emma had squashed their issues, but apparently not. So now she's going to get her stuff back. So we are just getting started with Bailey versus Emma. We went back into the arena where Becky Lynch made her entrance. Her opponent was already in the ring. Crazy Mary Dobson, she was introduced as Sarah Dobson here. I do not believe that she is signed, but she is. She was there for a tryout or at least for some enhancement work. For Crazy Mary's, to her credit here, she was just about as over as Blue Pants. So crowd was into her, chanting her name, Sarah Dobson. Don't know if she'll end up getting signed, but she looks pretty good here. Becky Lynch, this was pretty much the Becky Lynch show. Sarah sold well, got a couple of quick pinfall attempts, but this is all about Becky. She did her leg drops, and then finally came, hooked the arm and locked in that Nagata armbar that she does. Becky Lynch over Sarah Dobson by submission, 2:15. Again, just kind of a first gear squash. This was all right. I'd like to see more from Becky. This is one of those things where, you know, trim the fat and give one of the other segments more time, or trim the fat somewhere else and give this segment more time. Just, I don't know, let the Hideo Itami match go a little bit longer. Let the Becky Lynch match go a little bit longer. Let's see something more from these guys than first gear. Anything stand out to you about Lynch versus Dobson?
No, Dobson did look pretty good in the ring. Of course, I'm not familiar with her indie work, but she did seem like, you know, she knew how to wrestle, unlike a couple of the new debuts we've seen recently on NXT. And the crowd, they got a dueling chant going, let's go Sarah, let's go Becky. That was pretty cool to see. And, yeah, otherwise it was a highlight package for Becky Lynch. It allows you to actually, you know, for future highlight packages when you want to make a, you know, highlight her moves and stuff. That's what it seems like this match is for.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if nothing else, they got a pretty sweet shot of that nasty armbar finish that she does. Becky Lynch, it looks like, I mean, at least for this program with Sasha, it looks like she might be going babyface, so there's that. And then just what I mentioned earlier that I was going to note on, we've got some pretty impressive new female developmental signees who came in last month and will be showing up in the weeks to come. Who do we have? Casey Cassidy is coming in there, as well as Jessie McKay. So they are in full time down there in NXT. So we will. I mentioned the depth in the NXT Women's Division earlier, and with McKay and Cassidy being brought in, Dobson being brought in for a tryout. 2015 is going to be pretty sweet for these NXT ladies. We went backstage where Rhino cut. I don't remember a lot of his TNA promos, and I think a lot of his ECW promos are just yelling, but I don't know. From what I've seen of Rhino, this might have been his best promo ever. Just, he wasn't screaming into the camera the whole time. He was intent, and what he had to say was effective, and he said it efficiently, and this was good. He said that he saw Baron Corbin's video. He said he saw what makes Corbin tick. He said what makes him tick is making people feel pain. He said he's not the past, he's not the present, he's not the future. For whatever reason, I cut this off from my live coverage here. But basically, we've got Rhino wants a piece of Baron Corbin, and this isn't a spoiler alert, because we're going to run through the whole thing at the end of the show. We're going to get Rhino versus Baron Corbin at the next live special. So this is building to that. I don't know. How excited are you for Corbin versus Rhino?
I'm not sure, saying as both of their match styles. Again, Baron Corbin hasn't really developed yet, and he's still developing. He does have the look, but of course, he's Baron Corbin with his 30-second matches and whatever. But yeah, I had the same thought when I saw Rhino's promo. I was like, huh. Oh, for one, he didn't end the promo by saying gore, 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 like he does in every promo.
That's true, too. Very true.
No, and then because essentially that is how every single one of his promos go, where he's just yelling, I'm here to go. It's weird, but it's a Rhino promo, and you start, like, getting used to it, and this is oddly different. It's almost he's developing now. It took him how many years to develop?
Maybe Rhino is sitting in those promo classes learning what he should have learned a long time ago, that you don't need to scream everything into the camera, because I know to my live coverage, I don't ever need to hear Rhino yell his way through a promo again. Just do this. Like, this was fine. All right, so we went, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, we came back into the arena where it was main event time. Kevin Owens had joined the NXT commentary booth, which, my God, I mean, sure, he's great in the ring, and I love watching his matches. I think he's doing a great job as the NXT champion, but man, the best part about bringing Kevin Owens into NXT is having him on commentary just about every week or whenever we get him. It's been 3 or 4 times now. He's so good. He was doing it in PWG for years. I think various indies that brought him in to wrestle would also have him, you know, do commentary for a couple of the matches on the show. He's so good. He's witty, and he knows his role. He says what he has to say to get himself over. And even to get other people over. I mean, not Alex Riley. He was burying the shit out of Alex Riley. But he just the way he was talking about Sami Zayn, he wasn't burying Sami Zayn as much as he was talking bad about him to build up their feud. So Kevin Owens, super effective as a commentator. God forbid his NXT or his in-ring career ever gets cut short, or even when it's just over in due time. I think this guy's got a real, real bright future as a commentator. He's so good. We had Alex Riley making his entrance. Kevin Owens asked, "You guys ready to rage? I'm ready to rage." Sami Zayn was out next. I wonder if he was ready to rage. Fifth match of the show, main event time, Sami Zayn, Alex Riley. As I noted, Owens was just trashing Alex Riley on commentary, so much so that I really didn't even pay attention to the first 2 minutes of the match. I think it was kind of just basic wrestling school stuff. But then all of a sudden, Riley came out of nowhere and he hit the Moonlight Drive. Then Riley started killing Sami Zayn. He said that, actually, Owens is pretty funny here. He actually congratulated Alex Riley. He said, "I didn't think he was going to get that close to beating Sami Zayn." And then he thought maybe Sami Zayn's a step slower because I've beat him up so bad. So then Riley planted Zayn with a TKO, continued to beat him up, just chop him down, beat him up. Finally, Zayn knocked Riley to ringside, hit that big Tope Con Hilo that he does. Then Owens dropped the headset, ran down to ringside, and attacked Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn over Alex Riley by DQ in about 5 minutes. Owens stood over Zayn. Then the crowd started to chant, "Powerbomb, powerbomb." I had my face in my laptop. I'm not sure if they were intending on him powerbombing Sami Zayn, but he did powerbomb somebody, and he powerbombed Alex Riley, and he killed him with that apron powerbomb. So I think that's goodbye Alex Riley for a while. Owens walked out of the arena, big smile on his face, title in hand, Sami Zayn down on the ramp, RIP Alex Riley. That was the way the show closed. So the match was just kind of whatever. It actually, I think, was pretty terrible for Sami Zayn. He just took a 5 minute beating from Alex Riley. Alex Riley got murdered by Kevin Owens in 5 minutes, twice. What does that say about Sami Zayn? I didn't think that was good. But the Owens stuff at the end, I thought that was very effective. I think maybe this will write Riley off for a while, which maybe I'm a little biased, but I'm all for that. And, it was good build to Owens and Zayn. So thumbs up there, thumbs down for the match itself. I just thought that was really kind of ineffective besides for Owens on commentary. What were your thoughts on the main event?
I thought Owens actually kind of saved the match, in my opinion, on commentary. Because, yeah, I was confused. Like, why is Sami Zayn taking a beam from Alex Riley? Why is he taking, like, his finishers and stuff and, like, not coming back? But what Owens, cleverly said was, "Did I beat him up so bad that, I beat him up so bad that he's probably lost a step and look at him out there." So if as long as they play into that, weeks coming, hopefully, then this would have been a good build up to that. But yeah, it was a mediocre match. And the highlight was Kevin Owens on commentary. Yes, it was time to rage, indeed.
Time to rage. As far as the show goes, it was just kind of too much. There was too much to build towards for the next live special. We'll run through the lineup here. The lineup looks great. This is going to be a really, really strong takeover. But I think that's going to be kind of a detriment to the build to it because they only have 3 weeks to build to it, and there is so much to build to. I think that it just might lack. But we're going to get, obviously, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens for the NXT Championship. We get Tyler Breeze versus Hideo Itami versus Finn Balor to determine the number one contender. We're going to get Sasha Banks defending the NXT Women's Championship against Becky Lynch. We're going to get Rhino versus Baron Corbin. We're going to get Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy challenging Blake and Murphy for the Tag Team Championships. And I believe we're going to be getting Emma versus Bayley. Emma versus Bayley just in a singles match, I presume. So, that's a hell of a lineup. At least Emma versus Bayley, Sasha Banks versus Becky, the main event in the triple threat. There are four real, real strong matches on here. The other ones are just kind of there, but a strong, strong, strong takeover to look forward to. But like I mentioned, those are a lot of matches in 3 weeks to build to those matches. So I think this might be a pretty crammed and pretty congested couple of weeks. But we'll get through it. I'm sure it'll be all right. I'm sure there'll be some bright spots. Any other thoughts as we wrap up here, John?
No, just looking forward to the next couple of weeks to see what they do. It seems like what they were trying to do was get a lot of the setup out of the way on this show so that we could spend the rest of the time in the next couple of weeks to build up to these amazing matches that will hopefully happen at the next TakeOver special. But yeah, again, sort of average show. Again, like when we were going over this review, my opinion on the show sort of dropped as we went on, because yeah, it was pretty average. So yeah, I'm looking forward to next TakeOver, and hopefully next week and the next coming weeks we get better shows to build up towards that TakeOver.
All right, John. Well, thank you very much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed your first time here on the NXT Audio, and this is fun. So I'm sure we'll have you back. Maybe next time we'll have you speak in a British accent, just to kind of get that old Darren Betteridge feel back. Could you do that? Could you keep a British accent going for a half hour?
No way.
Oh,
I'll try,
well,
but it'll be so fake, though, and then I don't want to be stealing anything from Darren.
All right, well, you've got your thing going. I'm sure we'll have you back on at some point in the near future. Maybe I'll reach out to Darren and see if he's got any days off work at one of these weeks, and maybe we'll have an old school reunion. But this was fun, so thanks for joining me, and we'll be sure to have you back. All right, that's it for us. So on behalf of John Moore, I'm Zach Zimmerman, signing off.